You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to be with you guys here. We are all set up, rocking and rolling here at the... let me just fix my audio settings for a second. What do I got to do so that I don't hear myself talking? I can't remember. Okay, I think... there we go. Okay, I mute that. Now I'm good. All right. That's just my own inside my own head, inside baseball here. Yeah, I got all my equipment set up. Already seeing some great friends here at the Montana Chamber of Commerce Business Days at the Capitol. Speaking of good friends, Todd O'Hare, the president and CEO of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. Todd, great to see you. Thanks for kicking off the morning for us here on Montana Talks.
Thanks, Aaron Flint. Good to see you. Thanks for making the trip here.
How was the rodeo season for you and your son this year? Because I know you know you got to go to these political events, these business events, but as much as you can go watch your son rodeo, you're out there.
I am, and what a great sort of respite from the political field. You go to a rodeo, right, and it's like you get to put it all aside. And so my son had actually moved to Texas the first of November, and then this horse virus struck, and they canceled all the rodeos down in Texas between about the 10th of November, and they're just starting up again in January.
Really?
So he went down to Texas with all intentions of just like continuing to ride bucking horses.
And then the horse virus shut it all down.
So it looks like they're just getting ready to get geared up again. And so he came home for a couple of months, but he's headed back down.
That horse virus, I didn't even realize it. So I was laid up for a few days, had to get a little surgery done, routine surgery done. And luckily it was right when the NFR was on. So I could just kick back and watch the NFR every day. I didn't even realize that Taylor Moykins, right out of Three Forks, she performed well at the NFR, first ever NFR. She didn't even have her own horse.
No, there was
because of the horse virus. To be able to barrel race and not on the horse that you're used to running with, I mean, that's crazy.
There was an amazing sort of fallout from this. It wasn't just the rodeo. You think about, like, especially down in places like Texas, down the south, Oklahoma, New Mexico. There's a whole nother horse world down there. Reining and cutting and rodeo and all the sort of stuff that goes on during these winter months. You know, lots of jackpot ropings, all this sort of stuff.
Some really fancy horses.
Lots of big investments, right? And so all this got shut down for a couple of months, and it looks like they're getting ready to get going again. So thankfully we got that behind us. But thanks for asking about my son. I'm very proud of him, and he's pursuing a sport that is very unique and I think represents Montana very well.
We could spend the whole hour talking radio, but I guess we better talk a little business days at the Capitol before we get to a quick break here in about a minute or so. Give us the scene setter of what you're talking about today.
Well, we're going to cover a number of things today. One of the great, I think, honors that we've got, or two of the great honors we have here today, three now that I think about it. We've got our legislators lined up to talk about legislative issues, legislative leadership. We'll be here from both political parties. We've got Montana Chief Justice Corey Swanson is going to be addressing the group later this morning, and then we wrap up at noon with Governor Gene Forte giving us a bit of a fireside chat and talking about some of his priorities going into the next legislative session in 2027.
That's great. Now, the governor's actually going to join us on the show tomorrow, so we won't have to take his time today. There was a gun business, Line 49 rifle that I heard was really cool presentation yesterday. I'm really hoping I get a chance to catch up with this Alberta minister.
Yep.
There's a minister from the Canadian province of Alberta here, so he'd be fun to talk to. Back right after this break. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloud cover today and some sunny breaks possible in the Billings area. Otherwise, looking at some snow showers, a little mixed precip still around the Bozeman vicinity, with highs in the lower 40s across the region. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Overnight lows back in the low to mid 20s. Now we'll see a mix of clouds and sun Thursday. Upper 20s in Bozeman, lower 40s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Well, coming up with Wednesday's Montana Talks, we are live from the capital city, Helena, Montana, for the Montana Chamber's Business Days at the Capitol, a well-attended event by lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, business leaders, and more. Montana Talks, live from Business Days at the Capitol in Helena on Wednesday. Stay tuned for a special show Thursday as well. And then Friday, we're live in Malta. Can't wait for that program in KMMR country. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I tell you what, a lineup they've got here this morning and yesterday, frankly, for the Montana Chamber's business days at the Capitol. Todd O'Hare, you know, as I was chatting with folks here gathering for breakfast this morning, they were saying this gun business, I think it's out of Canada, or they came out of, they had to escape Canada, it sounds like. Line 49 rifle, the general manager spoke yesterday. What was so cool about his presentation?
I think the big takeaway from his presentation was, you know, what sort of a culture we have in Montana and how it is becoming a real draw for businesses to come to Montana. And so Line 49 are at their specialty rifle manufacturing company. That's what they're going to do. And that was the big thing that he pointed out, was this, like, this has been the most welcoming, encouraging state, you know, from elected officials at the top of the hierarchy chart, all the way down to residents and local businesses locally, right? It's like everybody is absolutely welcoming, right, them into the state. And so I think there's a great story. And they said, you know, everything from Governor Gianforte all the way to the Montana Chamber of Commerce has really kind of created an environment for them to feel like they can be secure and healthy and thrive in Montana as a business.
Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell just walked by and was fist in the air cheering your message there. So that was fun. And it didn't always used to be this way when it comes to gun manufacturers in particular. But, you know, the governor, I'm going to be at the SHOT Show down in Las Vegas here in about another couple of weeks. And the governor and the State Department of Commerce have really shown up in a big way down there, which sends a big message to these gun manufacturers. Because, Todd, look, you and I have been around for a long enough time now. We have seen really the deindustrialization of America and the loss of really important industries here in Montana, right, you know, over the years. And we've talked about the reasons for that before, but building out our manufacturing base, we've got to make mining great again. We've got to make our timber industry great again. But this manufacturing piece is so important in the midst of that. We've got to keep building that up in order to keep these job opportunities for Montana kids.
There seems to be a real magnet to Montana with guns. We're seeing this gun manufacturing sector really grow here in Montana. And it's an overused word, but there's becoming an ecosystem, right, where gun manufacturers are looking at Montana and saying, it's like, look, I can move to Montana. There's a talent pool here. There's a culture here that accepts this. We've got a legislature and a governor that is welcoming us into the state, right? These are places that we can go and we can manufacture. And these aren't like big, you know, 1,000-employee sort of manufacturing facilities. These tend to be small, niche, sort of manufacturing that provide really good paying jobs and is really starting to put Montana on the map as far as a place to do business, to manufacture, particularly in, you know, little sectors like the gun manufacturing sector.
Yeah, and you're seeing like even like the Montana Knife Company, knife manufacturer. I mean, boy, has he exploded. He's got a big new manufacturing center right in Frenchtown, Montana, and that's cool to see. But you're right. It's this whole ecosystem, kind of like high tech, like we've seen in Bozeman, where, well, you build barrels, well, I build optics. Yep. Oh, you build optics, well, I build cases. Oh, and it just, one business ends up supporting another, and then it ties in with what we love, which is, you know, hunting and the outdoors and self-defense and national security all the way around. Workforce development, all of the above, energy, tourism, some of the other topics coming up here today.
Yep. Yeah, workforce development continues to be like the number one issue that we hear from employers, right? This is really a pinch point. Montana's not unique in that. Every state in the country is facing this workforce challenge. So we're leaning into that as part of our strategic plan as this workforce development piece. We're partnering with the governor and the governor's office and the governor's administration on some various sort of things related to workforce development, all with kind of the goal of, like, how do we prepare kids in that K-12 space so that when they graduate high school, they're ready for life. And whether that life takes them to a four-year university or a two-year college or straight into the workforce, right? We're trying to allow for kids to pursue their passions and give them an opportunity to stay in Montana if they want to stay in Montana. And that's a bit of a shift that we've seen in Montana, I think particularly over the last half a dozen years or so, is that, right, there are now economic opportunities for kids. You and I, Aaron, left the state years ago when we graduated from college and in pursuit of a job.
Yeah, and because you had to.
Because you
had to. That's what kids had to do.
Right, and we don't want that to be an economic decision for kids. We want the decision to stay in Montana to be driven by whether they want to stay in Montana or whether they want to go out and see something else. And so we're seeing some of these opportunities arise, and I think a big part of it is like making sure these kids, when they graduate from high school, that they're prepared for life, regardless of what their path takes them.
Well, like case in point on the workforce development, back to the gun industry, right here in Helena, I remember talking with a big manufacturer, Olympus Arms, Mars. He said, hey, I need CNC guys that can do the CNC stuff, right? So you got a kid coming out of high school that you can train, they can pump right into that CNC pipeline. Boom, you're working for a cool company that had the best in show benefit, SHOT Show, just about 2-3 years ago. Mike Rowe, when the governor had Mike Rowe, the one and only Mike Rowe, with us on the radio, I think it was like the CEO of one of these big companies asked him, hey, where are all these potential workers at? Where are the people that are going to fill all these six-figure jobs? And Mike Rowe told him, they're in the eighth grade. That's where they're at.
That's right. We have to start thinking about this workforce issue at a much younger age, preparing these kids, exposing them to the different careers that can be available to them when they graduate high school. And then they have to just choose, like, what is it I need to do in order to pursue the passion that I have? And so I think we have to do a much better job of letting kids know while they're in that K through 12 space of what the options are in Montana so they can kind of prepare themselves to pursue the path that they need to in order to pursue that dream. Let me switch real quick because I think this is an important point here.
If you can, I've got to take another break here. We've got the Farm and Ranch report from our friend Lane Northern. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
I'll be happy to.
Perfect.
Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, great. All right. Yeah, quick break. We'll get to your next news and weather break here, plus Lane Northern with the Farm and Ranch report. And, of course, Todd O'Hare, the O'Hare family down there south of Livingston in the Paradise Valley. They know the importance of agriculture. So we'll get to that next important point right after this. Stand by.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
As we begin 2026, farmers and ranchers are still asking, will we have a new farm bill in the new year, or will it be delayed another year? Of course, we're currently operating on extensions of the 2018 farm bill. Grower leader Nathan Kane of Montana serves as treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers.
You know, 2018, for one thing, the world changed in 2020 with COVID. Everything has become so much more expensive. 2018 farm bill is based on 2012 statistics. So we are so far behind when it comes to what it actual production costs to raise crops now. So like I mentioned before, some of these CR things, the reference price of wheat, we were able to raise that, but it's not through a new farm bill. And honestly, it is really, really difficult to get a farm bill in place. It just is. The political atmosphere right now is just extremely difficult. It's hard to get both parties in line to agree on something. And now where farm bill used to be something that was fairly easier to do and get everyone on board on this, it's pretty difficult right now. And so we're having to go around, well, what other ways can we do that? And we're able to get some things done through CR and get that continuing resolution stuff put in place and through the big, beautiful bill put in place. And so that is helpful. But to have a safety net put in place that actually reflects what we're facing right now compared to what it was 2018, 2012 statistics is unbelievably important.
That was Nathan Kane, treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers. I'm Lane Nordblund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, hey, how cool is that? Todd, as you and I were talking about Line 49, this gun company and Line 49 rifle and this incredible presentation yesterday, one of their folks just walked by. Right. So if we don't catch up with them today, we're going to see them at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. They'll be down there as well. There was another important point you wanted to get to right before the break.
Yeah, I think this is one of those ones is everybody pays attention to the presidential election. Everybody. And then those that aren't paying attention to the presidential election, they take a lot of interest in the gubernatorial or the Senate election, right? But the one that like kind of flies under the radar that I get the most phone calls on whenever we have an election that's related to the Supreme Court. And I have people calling me all the time saying, I don't know who to vote for the Supreme Court. Who do I vote for on the Supreme Court? And so I give them my recommendation. And so the Montana Supreme Court matters as much as the legislative branch in the state of Montana. In fact, there's an argument that can be made that they have more importance because the legislature can pass laws and then the Montana Supreme Court can overturn those laws or interpret those laws differently than what the intent of those laws have been. And so the fact that we have the Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court here speaking who, by the way, the Montana Chamber of Commerce endorsed Corey Swanson in the last election. And then we also have Dan Wilson, who's a candidate for the Montana Supreme Court. Dan ran a year ago, was unsuccessful in that race. He's running again this year, and the Montana Supreme or the Montana Chamber of Commerce endorsed Dan Wilson in the race last time. We're going to go through an interview process again this year and make decisions for endorsements this year. But I think that speaks to the importance of this event. And I think it speaks also to the importance of these races that a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to and how important they are to our day-to-day lives.
That actually ties in with earlier this morning while I was getting set up, I recorded a conversation with Senator Steve Daines, U.S. Senator Steve Daines, and he basically was stressing that very same point. It's like, folks, look, if you don't get out this year and this fall, and we didn't just talk about congressional midterm elections. We tied it right back into the Montana Supreme Court. And how critical this is that this Democrat socialist threat, as I see it, that's a threat not just in New York City. It's a threat in Western Montana, especially right now as well in these judicial. But, boy, I tell you what, Chief Justice Corey Swanson, he is already, you can see he is just kind of, because of being the chief, yeah, he may not have the majority ruling on some cases. Although there was a big headline in the Billings Gazette this morning. There's these left-wing groups are trying to have an anti-free speech ballot initiative to cripple free speech in elections here in Montana. Unanimous rejection by the Montana Supreme Court, but I think it's because that ballot initiative went so far. But procedurally, administratively, you're seeing Chief Justice Corey Swanson kind of clean up a lot of the mess that we've had at the Montana Supreme Court. Imagine you get a Judge Dan Wilson in there as well, who's been a great judge at the Flathead. I mean, it's going to be remarkable what we can finally start to see happen in this state.
Yep, the Chief Justice is really doing a lot to set the tone. Right. And that's really important. And there's a lot of kind of archaic, if you will, or behind the scenes sort of activity that takes place. And Chief Justice Swanson is like really leading the court in a different way than it's been led in the past. And so these Supreme Court races are crucial to the Montana business community. You know, the Montana Chamber of Commerce, we always bring bills forward to every legislative session. But one of the first checks that we have to one of the first boxes that we have to check is, if we pass this piece of legislation, will it withstand the scrutiny of the Montana Supreme Court? And so there's a number of issues that we've had to pull back on because we felt like our attorneys advised us, it's like, I don't think this is going to withstand the scrutiny of the Montana Supreme Court the way it's standing today. And so the Supreme Court, you know, as we've seen with this Held decision, you know, had massive ramifications on natural resource businesses. It bleeds over into all businesses as it relates to climate change and CO2 measurements and monitoring and regulating. And so the Montana Chamber has been heavily involved in these issues, providing amicus briefs, working with the Supreme Court, working with our friends on some of these issues. And so the Supreme Court is a race that I want to encourage all of our business friends, like, really pay attention to this race. It matters a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the place to be this morning. I'm seeing state departmental directors. We're seeing legislative leadership, business leaders, and more here in the House for the Montana Chamber of Commerce Business Days at the Capitol. Todd O'Hare, thank you so much for letting us do our show from here. It's great to see you. Less than a minute to go before our Fox News update. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, we're working on our next strategic plan. And one of the issues that we see regularly coming up as we talk to business leaders around the state of Montana is energy is a rising concern. And we're operating underneath a strategic plan now that was it's 10 years old. We're working on our next strategic plan. 10 years ago, energy was not brought up as an issue by business leaders. It's regularly brought up. And so we're seeing that energy is going to be a big component as we go forward. Business climate is going to remain a big issue for us, taxes and regulations. We're also seeing housing rise in there. And so as we go through the rest of this year, we're going to be putting some fine-tuning touches on how we're going to operate our strategic plan over the next 5 to 10 years. And what's important about that is that when we focus on proper issues that are driven by the business community, we're about 75% successful in Montana.
all set up here at the Delta Colonial in Helena for Montana Chamber of Commerce Business Days at the Capitol. Meanwhile, back at our United States Capitol, we're joined right now by Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. Lots of big topics to get to here with Senator Steve Daines. But first, Senator, we got a chance to catch up with you before the game on Monday. My goodness, first time since 1984. I think every day is Taco Tuesday in Montana now.
Well, I've launched an initiative, Taco Dollar for Governor 2028. So I think we got to start moving in that direction. But I tell you, it was a magical night. So thankful I had a chance to be there with my wife, Cindy. We had two of our four children with us. Three of our four kids attended Montana State, and two of those three alums were there with us. It's one of those moments, 41 years in the making, that it's hard to describe. You know, Aaron, the last time the Caps won the national championship, 1984, was the year I graduated from Montana State. So it was a sweet victory. And I tell you, the Bobcat Nation showed up. I think we had the Redbirds outnumbered 2-1. It felt like a home game there at that Vanderbilt Stadium with all that sea of blue and gold there looking down from the stands. And the noise, every time the Redbirds had the ball, it sounded like Cat Grizz in Bozeman, just a bunch of noise. And then when the Cats had the ball, the Redbirds were kind of chirping quietly. They weren't real screamy, but it was an electric crowd. And then, of course, coming down through the emotional swings there for the last 2 minutes of that game, when Redbirds coming down, looked like they're going to put it away with a last-second field goal, blocked kick. And then we don't do much with the ball with our last shot to get it done, going into overtime. And then fourth and 10, Lamson drops back and finds the kid from Billings West in the end zone for the win.
Well, and it was funny because I'm standing on my feet. And I'm a Montana Grizzly, and I'm standing on my feet. And I'm just, like, amazed. I'm like, if you guard anybody, you guard Taco Dollar, you know. And but that Taco Dollar, it was amazing. I saw Bradley Warren did a quick interview with him after the game. And I loved what Taco Dollar said. He said, look at me. Look at me. I'm not a big guy. I don't look like a football player. He says, chase your dreams, kids. And I thought that was just such a great message. And I know Coach Stanton back at Billings West High, you know, is just so proud of this Billings West High School product. And so just been incredible to see. Senator, big news. Now you head right back to Washington, D.C. Not too much of a honeymoon celebration period for you. Right back into Washington. A lot of work needs to get done right here in January.
There's a lot on the plate at the moment. We're working to get cooperation from both sides, particularly get the Democrats to cooperate with us to get these appropriation packages done so that we can avoid another shutdown on January 30th. It's foolish nonsense to think the Democrats might want to push towards a shutdown on the 30th. I hope they don't, but with some cooperation.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, we're going to go right back to this conversation. So in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, while we were running some other audio, I actually recorded this conversation with Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning before he went into Montana Coffee. But we've got legislative leadership from both parties that are here at this meeting this morning, the Business Days at the Capitol event. In fact, I think Senate President Matt Regeer, Senate Minority Whip Pat Flowers, Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, and State Representative Democrat Mary Cafaro, the four of them are actually scheduled to speak here any minute. And here's the great thing, the great audio guy running the audio visual for the whole event today has got me an audio feed, so we can kind of jump in and listen in real time on what they're talking about. In the meantime, though, let's go back to our conversation with Senator Steve Daines. Now you head right back to Washington, D.C. Not too much of a honeymoon celebration period for you. Right back into Washington. A lot of work needs to get done right here in January.
There's a lot on the plate at the moment. We're working to get cooperation from both sides, particularly get the Democrats to cooperate with us to get these appropriation packages done so that we can avoid another shutdown on January 30th. It's foolish nonsense to think the Democrats might want to push towards a shutdown on the 30th. I hope they don't. But with some cooperation, we can get these final appropriation bills done for this fiscal year and put that in the end zone. And then, of course, we'll have a hearing in the SCIF, actually, a secure environment. It'll be a classified hearing with Marco Rubio and the Trump team talking about the operation in Venezuela. And, I mean, I think we always want to step back and remember that was a stunning execution by our military. To think about Delta Force and the other very brave men and women who went right in the belly of the beast there, Maduro. And Tom Cotton was telling us yesterday at lunch, and this is for public consumption. He asked if it was okay to share this when General Kane gave him a brief, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff. He said the Delta Force were instructed to treat Maduro like a hostage. In other words, that means if it's like a hostage-type operation, they do everything to protect the person they're trying to extract. That even means you're putting our Delta Force guys in harm's way in the sense of if there's shooting breaks out, they're going to protect the hostage, in this case, Maduro. So that says something about the integrity of the operation there. They weren't there to kill Maduro. They were there to extract Maduro and bring him to justice. And let's not forget that the Biden administration had a $25 million bounty on Maduro. I just find it ironic. The Democrats are screaming about what happened. Biden had the guy was so bad, Biden had a $25 million bounty on Maduro's head, and Trump did something about it. And think about what we did down there, the analogy with football down in Nashville. If the Bobcats only had their defense on the field the entire game, you can't win. Trump put the offense on the field, and that's how you win to stop this dictator, illegitimately elected, a narco-terrorist indicted, who is facilitating the cocaine in the United States coming through Colombia, and also, of course, the network tied to terror there with oil and so forth to the Iranian. This is a bad guy, and the world is safer today because Maduro is behind bars.
Well, I'll tell you, on that same line here, Evan in Belt, Montana, one of our great Air Force veteran listeners. I love the way I think it was him who described. Was it him? No, it was Mike in Big Timber, a Navy veteran. Mike said, look, special teams. It was special teams who secured the victory in Venezuela. It was special teams who blocked those kicks in Nashville. So a big week for special teams. I thought that was a great way. Cover both stories. You know, Senator, I did an interview on Newsmax with Todd Starnes the other day, and, you know, we were talking about the Kami Mamdani in New York City and the racist housing office director there. But the point I wanted to make was, like, look, we can sit here and laugh about the Kami Mamdani in New York City, you know, calling President Trump to complain about the takedown of a socialist dictator. But the fact is, we've got these Democrat socialists in Western Montana that were already protesting with pre-manufactured signs on Sunday in Missoula. And the other argument I made is, like we basically have already had Democrat socialist policies that destroyed Venezuela, that have caused so much harm in New York City. But in reality, right here in Montana, with these leftist judges that Democrats put on the bench, I would argue that towns like Libby, Montana, have been harmed because of Democrat socialist policies over the years.
No doubt about it. Think about it. We've got 130 million board feet of timber in Montana tied up in lawsuits because of leftist judges who work with leftist NGOs and these radical environmental groups to tie up timber harvest across Montana because it might be a threat to grizzly bears. And so it's right here in our backyard, my hometown of Bozeman. I mean, good grief. Look what we have in terms of our city politics there in Bozeman and what you have in Missoula. effectively elected, you know, a Democrat mayor in Kalispell. I'll tell you what, I think the warning here, Aaron, for our folks back in Montana is we can't be asleep at the wheel here as 26. We are in an election year in Montana. We've got some very important races, a U.S. Senate race, two important U.S. House races for starters. And it's very important our folks show up. The left is angry. They're motivated. Anger drives activity and drives people to the polls. We've got to make sure our folks don't get complacent and stay home come November of 26.
Well, and yeah, I got to get your take. Speaking of Democrat socialists in Western Montana, I can't wait to watch Congressman Ryan Zinke wipe the floor with this now Bernie Sanders endorsed, if that's who ends up winning the primary. But I just posted this news on our Montana Talks website yesterday. You know, Bernie Sanders, keep your dirty mittens off Montana. But Bernie Sanders is endorsing this far-left lobbyist to be the Democrat congressional candidate to try to lose to Ryan Zinke again. And how rich is that? You know, Bernie Sanders flies into Missoula on a private jet for his big rally, and now he endorses a far-left lobbyist. I think it's from Portland or something.
You can't make it up, Aaron. You know, when I was growing up in Montana, My grandpa Daines was a Democrat. Grandpa and my grandma lived in Billings, lived on Avenue C down there by Rose Park. And, you know, grandpa took me fishing. Grandpa took me hunting. Grandpa gave my first 22, a Winchester 22. Grandpa was a Democrat. But I tell you, if he were alive today, he'd be voting for Trump. I mean, these are the Democrats, the old Democrats in Montana, you know, the Mike Mansfield Democrats, the John F. Kennedy Democrats. The Democrats today that we see in our country and in Montana and the candidates they're producing, they're not Democrats. They are now, they're really in the socialist lane, just like Bernie Sanders. Remember, Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. He's a socialist, self-identified. He is not officially part of the Democrat Party. He's part of the socialist Democrat. That's a different party. He happens to caucus with the Democrats, but he's not officially part of the Democrat Party. And if the Democrats in Montana think that's a really good idea to have a socialist from Vermont coming into Montana and saying, I'm endorsing candidates here for Montana, I tell you, give me a break. They are so out of touch with where most Montanans are.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope they make Socialist Sam their candidate, because we know all these guys that are stepping into the ring. They got their Resist t-shirts. They're all a bunch of Bernie AOC acolytes. You talk about
I tell you what, Aaron, let me just say this, though. I mean, let's not forget, though, Mondami was legitimately elected in New York. I mean, he didn't steal that election. He was legitimately elected. And I just think the warning here for us in Montana is that we can look and say, oh, look at these crazy people that are so far left. We just have to show up and vote. As it's been said before, bad government results when good people don't show up and vote.
Exactly.
So it's going to be about turnout. And, you know, in midterm elections, with Trump not being on the ballot in 26, we've got a lot of our solid MAGA Trump voters out there that say, well, Trump's not on the ballot. I'm not sure I'm going to show up because he's not on the ballot. You know, President Trump's going to be campaigning very, very hard to make sure we elect these Republicans up and down the ballot. And there's only one way you win an election, Aaron. You've got to get more votes than the other person.
Me here or not? There we go. Okay, all right, I'm back now. Yeah, we're gonna go back to just, I think, Caden, what do we have, another minute or so left on that conversation with Senator Steve Daines? So we'll come back to whatever we got left of the conversation here after this, and then let me check in.
Anybody relate to that?
There you go, Senate President Matt Regeer. Checking the audio coming from the stage here at the Montana Chamber of Business Days at the Capitol. We do have audio of the legislative panel, the eggs and issues that's kicking off right now. So, live from Helena here at the Delta Colonial. If you're listening, come on down and say hello. But, right after the break, we'll play whatever we got left from my interview earlier this morning with Senator Steve Daines and then take it to the stage here.
Sports Update.
Preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl now in need of a new head coach.
I'm Jared Max. For the last 18 NFL seasons, John Harbaugh was the head coach in Baltimore. But quote, these Ravens never more. John Harbaugh was fired yesterday, 2 days after the Ravens season ended, with a missed field goal attempt that, if made, could have helped Baltimore make the playoffs. Now on the outside, the Ravens are making a big change. John Harbaugh out as head coach. The Ravens finished with an 8-9 record. Just the third time in Harbaugh's 18 seasons, the team lost more games than it won. The Ravens never had a worse season at home, just a 3-6 record in Baltimore. Despite having two-time league MVP Lamar Jackson as his quarterback for 8 years, John Harbaugh coached only 3 playoff wins during this time. Never made it to the Super Bowl with Jackson. What's next for John Harbaugh? Likely another NFL head coaching job next season. Harbaugh's agent told ESPN within 45 minutes of his client getting fired yesterday, 7 different teams called him to inquire about Harbaugh, which would mean one NFL team who currently has a coach also reached out. As including the Ravens, there are 7 NFL head coaching jobs now open. A few NFL teams parted ways with top assistant coaches Tuesday. The Commanders fired defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. and mutually parted ways with offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. The Lions fired John Martin, who was offensive coordinator for only one season. The Cowboys fired defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus. NBA Tuesday, the Pacers set a team record for the longest losing streak since Indiana joined the NBA in 1976. The Pacers lost their 13th game in a row, beaten by the Cavaliers 120-116. NHL, 2 players registered hat-tricks Tuesday. The Islanders' Anthony Duclair scored 3 goals in a row of a 9-0 dismantling of the Devils. Connor McDavid scored 3 goals for the Oilers. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloud cover today and some sunny breaks possible in the Billings area. Otherwise, looking at some snow showers, a little mixed precip still around the Bozeman vicinity with highs in the lower 40s across the region. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Overnight lows back in the low to mid-20s. Now we'll see a mix of clouds and sun Thursday. Upper 20s in Bozeman, lower 40s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
He was a socialist dictator who opened up the prisons and sent narco-terrorist thugs to invade the United States of America. Trend Aragua thugs were even busted here in Montana. But that didn't stop the knee-jerk leftists in Missoula from protesting the takedown of Nicolai Maduro in Venezuela. NBC Montana had a story, and the comments are gold. Check out the story. You can
today at 670-1942. Go online at listwithamber.com. Listwithamber.com.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, Aaron Flint here back at the Montana Chamber of Commerce Business Days at the Capitol. In fact, during the break there, I was listening in a little bit to what Senate President Matt Regeer had to say. I recorded some of the audio. Hopefully, I'll be able to play some of that back for you here, maybe coming up in the next hour of the show. Meantime, I think we've got just a couple of minutes or so left of our conversation with U.S. Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning. Let's go right back to that. Well, you're exactly right. And I would add a cautionary note to your message here as well when it comes to turnout midterm elections is like, okay, what do these Democrat socialists see here? They see big national money from Bernie and AOC. They see excitement and enthusiasm amongst their base. So regardless of what would happen in the Western Congressional District alone, they want to drive turnout for their far left activists to when it comes to Supreme Court elections here in Montana. So it affects everything. So our side has got to get fired up right now.
We do. No, it's really too. Mike, the worry you have, and when you look at the history of midterm elections, going all the way back to Ronald Reagan, I mean, Reagan in his second midterm election, this will be Trump's second midterm election. In Reagan's second term election, midterm in 86, I mean, they lost 6 Senate seats. Barack Obama lost 9 Senate seats in his second midterm. The point is that the party in power in Washington, in the White House, tends to lose seats in the House and the Senate. And so we've got to buck that trend. And in Montana, thankfully, we've gotten more red over the years as we've had a lot of refugees, political refugees, we call them, moving away from blue states into our state to join us, not to change us. But we got to show up. We got to vote. And that's the worry I know of President Trump and his team, and for many of us, is that the left is really, really mad. They've got Trump derangement syndrome. The right is feeling pretty good. The border's secured. We stopped the largest tax increase in American history. American strength is back. You know, complacency doesn't drive voter turnout. If people are feeling good right now, the economy's, you know, we're setting records right now. People's 401ks look as good as they ever looked and so forth. Gas prices are down. We've got to get out and vote. And that's the message I think we've got to spread here, of course, to all of our folks there across Montana.
Senator Steve Daines, we've got folks here having breakfast and coffee at the Montana Business Days at the Capitol here in Helena. And you're about to head into Montana Coffee back there in D.C. Thanks for your time this morning. Great to catch up with you. And congrats again on your team's big victory.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right, and Aaron Flint here back with you in Helena at the Montana Chamber of Commerce Business Days at the Capitol. I was just also listening in a little bit. I recorded some audio. Democrat State Senate Minority Whip Senator Pat Flowers out of Bozeman is speaking right now. And so I recorded some of that audio as well. We'll get to that coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. Hey, for our Missoula friends, you know, hey, our Missoula friends now not only get a chance to hear us in the 9 o'clock hour, you know, which we kind of call our statewide show, but you now get to hear us in the 7 o'clock and the 8 o'clock hours of Montana Talks as well. Let me tell you guys something. If you haven't heard me talk about it before, right now, I am in the middle of a tune-up. It's a diet tune-up. You know, I lost all the weight, what, 7 years ago now? But here's how I keep the weight off. I was just talking with a friend earlier this morning. You know, it's a lot easier to lose 5 or 6 pounds than it is to lose 36 pounds or 106 pounds. But we've got so many listeners that have lost 100-plus pounds thanks to Billings' last diet. I lost 33 pounds, you know, what, over 7 years ago, and I've kept it off since then. Well, right now, I'm just doing a tune-up. I'm just cleaning up after the holidays, doing a little New Year's tune-up. But here's the deal. I live in Kalispell. So you might be saying, Aaron, how are you, you know, teaming up with your coaches, et cetera, from Billings' Last Diet if you live in Kalispell? Well, that's because Billings' Last Diet has a remote option. I literally just did a remote session with my diet coach, Jen, yesterday. They shipped me all the incredible Ideal Protein products. I've got a scale at my house. I weigh in on my own time. And boom, it keeps you on track. So the point is, Billings' Last Diet doesn't just deliver for our listeners in Billings. They're delivering for people all across the state. So if you're looking to get healthy for life, go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call them right now, 294-6751.
My mom has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
My dad's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on 6 pounds.
Learning new things comes with age.
Original intent.
She started forgetting my name and what we're talking about.
Forgetting well-known things doesn't. Memory loss may be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Early detection gives you and your loved one time to plan for the future. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.